Welcome to the South Cars Outreach Program. Join our training session in progress.
Good evening. Welcome to the Outreach Program sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and to further assist those wishing to upgrade license status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for the general class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Tuesday and at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Sunday evening. For those that are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARS server at either EchoLink node number 96140 or IRLP node 9614 or ALLSTAR, that's ALLSTAR, ALLSTAR node assist AST at 27404. For those who are interested, please contact myself, Mike, Kilo Delta Zero, Charlie Delta Quebec, via email at voip@voipnet.southcars.com to enroll in the class and be given directions as how to study the material required and the manner you will be connected into the course. The material being presented is formatted from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS, which is South Coast Amateur Radio Service. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class and session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the Outreach Program at voip@voipnet.southcars.com, letting it drop. It should be mentioned that the course covers only requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other country other than the United States wish to have their own licensing session on this server, please drop us an email at the same place, voip@voipnet.southcars.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website at, now catch this, at www.voip.southcars.com. Now please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it is extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the ones found posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during these sessions. Do we have any emergency or out of the ordinary business that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program?
Sierra United November.
Sierra United November, go ahead please.
Well, thank you, Mike, and welcome everyone tonight to our outreach class. But I wanted to make sure that our membership knows about the condition of Bill, that's VE3MEW. He was to be one of our instructors this evening. Last night, Bill found himself being admitted into the hospital with a stroke condition. Communication from his son to us today indicated that he is resting well, currently has some speech impediment, and any other complications have not yet been determined. Please keep your thoughts and prayers in Bill's direction. Thank you, Mike, for allowing me to share that with you, and I'll turn it back to you.
Yes, thank you, Kathy, for making that announcement. So tonight, our two instructors will be K6SUN, Kathy, down in Florida, and WQ1I, Paul, I believe he's in Danbury, Connecticut. So the first question I'm looking at here, it looks like it was to, Paul. So Paul, if you're ready and you want to start with the first question, please go right ahead. This is KD0CVQ, turning it over to WQ1I. Over.
Okay, Mike, thank you very much. And this is WQ1I, and the location this evening is North Salem, New York, in the state of New York at Peach Lake. And the first question that we've got tonight is question number G1 Alpha 08, and it reads, which of the following frequencies is within the general class portion of the 80-meter band? Which of the following frequencies is within the general class portion of the 80-meter band? A, 1855 kilohertz, B, 2560 kilohertz, C, 3560 kilohertz, or D, 3650 kilohertz? And the answer is C, 3560 kilohertz, or 3.560 megahertz, is in the 80-meter band, which covers the frequency range of 3,500 to 4,000 kilohertz. And let me just drop this for a second. Now, if you would go to www.voip.southcars.com under Downloads, Outreach and Training, General Course, General License Study Sheet, there is a list of all permissible frequencies of operation. And on that listing, you'll see that the 80-meter band is contained within the frequencies of 3560 to 3500 to 4000 kilohertz. And the answer is C. And I'd also like to send out my well wishes and prayers to Bill, the E3MEW, hoping he makes a full and speedy recovery. And it's a sad event that I heard about late this afternoon. I only spoke with him just yesterday morning on the AM connection, and he sounded his usual chipper self. So if anyone can come through this in flying colors, it's definitely Bill, and we're all going to be pulling for him. So back to you, Mike, from WQ1I, Peach Lake, New York.
Very good, Paul. And for those that are listening in to take the test, we will pause after each answer is given in case you have any questions so that you can come aboard. And it is very important to keep that list of frequencies handy. I always have a sheet handy on my radio desk because when we change bands, sometimes you can mess up quite easily. So I would always have a sheet handy to make sure you're in the legal area. And of course, the 3.560 is very close to where people are on PSK31 on digital. On digital, they're usually at 3.579.5. So you're going to hear some beautiful music, but you can't answer them. They won't hear a word you say. Okay, is there any questions pertaining to this first question that was just presented by Paul? Any questions? We'll pause a moment, and then Kathy will pick up with the next question. Okay, I didn't hear any questions, so I'm going to throw it over to K6SUN. Kathy, take it away. It's all yours. Over.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike, and good evening to you, Paul, up in New York. Temperature down here in Port St. Lucie currently is about 82 degrees. So my question is G1 Alpha 11. That's Golf 1 Alpha 11. And it reads, when general class licensees are not permitted to use the entire voice portion of a particular band, which portion of the voice segment is generally available to them? Let me reread that. When general class licensees are not permitted to use the entire voice portion of a particular band, which portion of the voice segment is generally available to them? Our choices are A, the lower frequency end, B, the upper frequency end, C, the lower frequency end on frequencies below 7.3 megahertz and the upper end on frequencies above 14.150 megahertz, and D, the upper frequency end on frequencies below 7.3 megahertz and the lower end on frequencies above 14.150 megahertz. Actually, the correct answer is Bravo B, the upper frequency end. Let me pause for just a moment. General class frequency privileges extend across all of the permissible bands available to amateur radio operators, but not completely. For all bands where generals only have partial access The privileges for each mode are located at the top of the band where that mode is permitted. So as example, in the 80 meter band discussed in the first question, generals can operate phone from the top, 4,000 kilohertz down to 3,800 kilohertz. The frequencies below 3,800 to 3,600 are also for phone operation, but you will need to upgrade from general to access those frequencies. So, do we have any questions before I throw it over to Paul for the next question?
RMO with a comment.
Well, go ahead, Mr. RMO.
Hey, thank you, Kathy, and hello, everybody. That was first of all some pretty tough news about Paul about Bill tonight. And you know, as Paul said, if anybody can pull through it, it's going to be Bill. And I can only reiterate, you know, all my good thoughts and prayers go with him too. He's a great guy, and you just hate to see anything like that happen to him. I did want to pass along that it's kind of pertinent to both the first question and what we just covered, too. A really good tool for anybody, whether you're just getting into your general class ticket or you're, you know, a little more advanced, you've been around for a while, is get yourself a hold of an ARRL band plan and print it out and keep it right, you know, at your operating position. It's great because it's going to tell you what frequencies you can operate on and also what privileges you have within those frequencies. So that's a pretty helpful tool. So you can kind of take what you're hearing here and you can, you know, have it visually in front of you. It's certainly saved my bacon a few times. So we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
All right. Thank you so much, Gary. Paul, if you're ready for the next question, it's your turn.
Okay, Kathy, thank you. And third question for this evening is question number G1B03, Golf 1 Bravo 3. And the question reads, which of the following is a purpose of a beacon station as identified in the FCC rules? A, observation of propagation and reception. B, automatic identification of repeaters. C, transmission of bulletins of general interest to amateur radio licensees, or D, identifying net frequencies. And the answer is A. Beacon transmissions are very useful on the HF bands, just as they are on VHF and UHF. Beacons are used for observation of propagation and reception, as well as for other related activities. They alert operators of band openings that might otherwise be missed, and provide a source of on-air signals for amateurs to calibrate and adjust their equipment. Let me drop it here and see if anyone has any questions to come aboard now. Okay, nothing heard. With that, I guess I'll throw it back to Mike. And Mike, why don't you take it there and give it back to Kathy if you're ready. I don't know why I feel the need to go back to Mike, but we'll do it this time anyway. WQ1I, back to net.
Just as well, Paul, because I like to make comment and I don't want to interrupt anybody. Yes, everybody's transceiver will be a little bit different according to the brand and the one that you have, but I would definitely set up the beacons. You can look on the internet, I believe, and find out where the beacons are located on the various frequencies, and then look at your radio manual and find out how do you set these. I have my radio set one time, and I've never gone back to it, just left it alone. Once you get the beacons loud and clear and you know you got it centered, you calibrated. I think that's the best word I would use, and it seems to work well that way. And you don't need to go back to the beacons again unless you like to hear the music. Okay, Kathy, back to you for the next question. Over.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike and Paul as well. My question is Golf 01 Bravo 05. And it reads, when may music be transmitted by an amateur station? The four choices are A, at any time as long as it produces no spurious emissions. B, when it is unintentionally transmitted from the background at the transmitter. C, when it is transmitted on frequencies above 12-15 megahertz. Or D, when it is an incidental part of a manned spacecraft retransmission. And the correct answer is Delta, when it is an incidental part of a manned spacecraft retransmission. Let me pause for just a moment. Transmitting music is prohibited on the amateur bands. Even music which is part of background noise in your station or vehicle. Turn down the broadcast audio when you're not on the air. When you're on the air, the only time music is permitted is when it is an incidental part of a manned spacecraft transmission. Incidental means that you're listening to an International Space Station transmission and retransmitting it for other amateurs to hear, which is permitted. If music happens to be part of the audio, it's okay for it to be included in the transmission. So with that, let me just throw it out there to our listeners, see if there's any questions from our students or anyone else. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for any questions. Well, with no questions from our students or anyone listening, I'm going to throw it as well to you, Mike, KD0CDQ, and see if you have any comments.
Well, I think most of us have had an occasion of being driving in our car and somehow sitting on our microphones on the transmitter, especially on VHF and UHF, and we've heard other people's conversations and other people's music, so it's something to watch. I think it's probably less likely on a base station of a transceiver, you know, on this, because you've got the microphone there in front of you, not normally on the seat with you. But if you're mobile and you're on HF, it may be very possible to have a problem. So always watch that PTT, that push to talk button. It can be interesting, and nobody wants to make a mistake, and we all do, so not to be too concerned. Okay, I'm going to throw it back to Paul. Paul, it's your turn. Over to you.
Okay, Mike, very good. Thank you for that. This is WQ1I, and this is the self cars, a general class number one, and we're on question number five, and that is question number G1B08, and I'll mention it now, see if I can beat Mike to the punch here. We are reading these answers, A, B, C, and D, and always remember that they may not appear in the same order that way on the actual test you take. The answers that you choose from are always going to be the same, but answer A in this case may not be answer A on your test, so make sure you know what the answer is, not the not just memorizing the letter for a particular question. Okay, with that said, G1B08, when choosing a transmitting frequency, what should you do to comply with good amateur practice? A, ensure that the frequency and mode selected are within your license class privileges. B, follow generally accepted band plans agreed to by the amateur radio community. C, monitor the frequency before transmitting. And D, all of these choices are correct. And the answer is D, all of these choices are correct. Always be sure that you're operating within the frequencies which your class of license allows. And within your allowable frequencies, choose the proper segment of the band for the particular mode of operation which you plan to transmit. And always be sure that the frequency you're about to transmit on is not already in use. The best way to do this is to devote some time listening to that frequency before transmitting. Propagation may be such that you can only hear one side of a two-way conversation, and what sounds like an open frequency suddenly has a loud booming signal when the second station starts his transmission. So listen first, then politely ask if the frequency is in use before calling CQ. Any questions at all?
This is KD0CDQ, and if I may add, be very guarded if you're doing a MARS, which is the Military Amateur Radio Service cross band, when they do that once a year, because you will be listening outside the band, but you come back in the amateur radio band to respond. So please be aware of that. Sometimes, and another point is, yes, before you go on the air, ask, is this frequency clear? Is this frequency clear? Because somebody may be between a conversation and you jump on top of them and they may not be too mannerly. So always ask and make sure frequency is clear. Very good. Very good on that, Paul. Okay, let's go on. Are there any other questions about that G1B08? Over? Or anything we've done thus far?
W4RFJ with a comment.
Yes, go right ahead, please. Roger, go right ahead. W4RFJ, go right ahead, please.
Okay, well, I apologize for the delays here. I'm on my cell phone network, and it's a little bit slower than the house network, and Charlotte's looking at me like, why aren't you talking? Anyway, Paul made a very good point. I just wanted to share. My Elmer taught me a long, long time ago that amateur radio is 90% listening, 10% talking. And over the years, I've found that to be very true and very helpful in when learning how to do this stuff. So that was my comment. I hope I didn't throw things off too far. Thank you, Mike.
Roger, that was a very good point. Thanks for throwing that in. It sounds like you had a good mentor there, a good Elmer. Okay, I believe it's Kathy's turn. Kathy, what's your next question, please?
All right, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November with the Outreach General Course, number 1. My question is number 6 tonight. It's G1Charlie04, and it reads, which of the following limitations apply to transmitter power on every amateur band? A, only the minimum power necessary to carry out the desired communication should be used. Bravo, power must be limited to 200 watts when transmitting between 14.100 megahertz and 14.150 megahertz. Charlie, power should be limited as necessary to avoid interference to another radio service on the frequency. And Delta, effective radiated power cannot exceed 1,500 watts. Let me pause for just a moment. Because HF QSOs are almost always carried out point to point without the assistance of repeaters, transmitter power becomes a more significant issue on HF bands. General, advanced, and amateur extra licenses are limited to a maximum output power of 1,500 WPEP, and PEP stands for peak envelope power, with two restrictions. Number one, amateurs are restricted to 200 watt PEP on the 30-meter band, and two, amateurs are restricted to 100 watts ERP on the 60-meter band. However, you are always required to use the minimum power necessary to carry out the desired communication. And one comment I have is just like what Paul was saying, is don't memorize these A, B, C, or D. But if you're having a problem with one of the questions and don't know the answer, but you can find something in that question that relates something in the answer, you know, maybe memorization is the way to go. So with that, I'm going to just throw it out there to see if we have any questions, and then after that, Paul, you can go to the next question, which will be number 7. Any questions, please? All right, Paul, why don't you take a number 7 question tonight?
And it is number G1C06, Golf 1 Charlie 6, and it reads as follows. Which of the following is a limitation on transmitter power on the 1.8 megahertz band? Which of the following is a limitation on transmitter power on the 1.8 megahertz band? A, 200 watts PEP output. B, 1,000 watts PEP output. C, 1,200 watts PEP output. Or D, 1,500 watts PEP output. Now let me draw. And the answer is D, 1,500 watts peak envelope power output. There are a few variations of this question. You know, this question comes from a pool of questions, and there may be a few of these that are maybe worded differently, but basically are the same question. Might ask it with a different band, but basically there are a few variations of this question which may show up on your test. As discussed in the previous question, with a general class license on HF bands, your maximum transmitted power is 1,500 watts. With the 30-meter and 60-meter bands as notable exceptions. 1.8 megahertz is the 160-meter band, so your maximum power output is 1,500 watts PEP. And I'll throw it open for any comments or questions, including Mike, if you want to, after a couple seconds, just grab it. Go ahead and take a WQ1I.
Yes, often when there's a net, you may find interference if somebody's running a lot of power. I have another club member that lives within a mile of my home, and he's running 1,000 watt. He's got a big rig, you know, going. And when he comes in with his call sign, it makes my head jerk back from my radio because he's so close to me. And that's, and I've talked to him, and he just runs 1,000 watts. He doesn't do the 100. He's way up there, and he's just doing a net. You know, he's doing a local club net. So some folks like to use the high power, just go along with it. Don't make any comment unless you're friendly with them and can discuss it. Just let it go. But during a contest, stay with your 100 watts. Stay where you belong. Eventually, the other party will hear you. Even if they're like where I am in Kansas, I picked up a lady in New Hampshire. I just waited my turn. On the third shot, she had me, and I just stayed below the 100. I didn't go up higher. I didn't play any game. So just be patient. Patience is always the best thing. And just like Roger said, listen, listen, listen. KD0CDQ, anybody else have comments about the power limitations on any of the bands? Go ahead now if you have any questions, and if not, we'll give it over to Kathy. Over.
All right, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and since there's no questions, I'll go into the next. It's number 8, but I will repeat just what Roger and Mike are saying. Listening is a very good quality to have, and you'll learn an awful lot by listening. My question is number 8 tonight, and it's G01 Delta 07, and it reads, volunteer examiners are accredited by what organization? A is the Federal Communications Commission. B, the Universal Licensing System. Charlie, a volunteer examiner coordinator, which is actually the correct answer. And Delta, the Wireless Telecommunications Bureau. You know, a unique aspect of the amateur service is its volunteer-administered licensing program. The volunteer licensing program is administered by volunteer examiner coordinators, or VECs. VECs are organizations that have entered into an agreement with the FCC to coordinate amateur license examinations. The ARRL is the largest VEC, but there are 13 other VECs. So with that, let me throw it out there and see if we have any questions, and that includes you, Mike, as well, before you throw it over to Paul.
This is KD0CDQ. This may be one that's good to memorize so you don't get tripped. We always want to say the FCC does everything. You know, we kind of got that in our mental block. So with this question, just remember volunteer examiner. It's in the question. It's in the answer. That may make it easier. Just pop it and hope you get a nice, simple question like that. Anyone else have any comments? Please go now. This is the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. We're doing the general class exam questions this evening. Over to whoever has any questions. If not, Paul will pick it up in New York State.
RMO with just a quick comment.
Randy, go right ahead. Randy, KE4JXF. Go ahead, Randy. Excuse me, Randy, it's all yours. I don't know if you're picking me up. Randy, please go ahead. Over.
Mike, it actually was Gary, KC2RMO. Randy just connected, but it is Gary you want to call on.
Okay, Gary, KC2RMO. Gary, you had a question or a comment. Please give it to us. Go ahead.
Next week it's my turn to be Randy. But I just wanted to shoot one quick comment in here. That a VEC is an organization. It's not a person. And I think, you know, there's always a couple of questions in that exam that kind of lead you down that path to, you know, making you think it's a person. It's not. You know, you have, was it 12 different organizations that are VECs, but it's an entity, not an individual. So keep that in mind too. Back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
It's good to hear you there, anyway, Gary. Good to hear you. Very good. Okay, I guess we'll throw it back to Paul. Paul, I think you're on the 9th question. Please go ahead now. Over.
Thanks. And yeah, Roger and Gary are correct. The VE is the volunteer examiner. That's the person. And the VEC is the volunteer examiner coordinator. That's the organization. So that's a good point, Gary. And Roger, Chief. All right, the next question, number 9 for this evening, is Golf 1 Delta 11. And the question reads, I found this question interesting, actually. That's probably why I picked it. If a person has an FCC-issued amateur radio license of general class or higher, what is required before they need a new license? If a person has an expired FCC-issued amateur radio license of general class or higher, what is required before they can receive a new license? I guess we should ask our buddy Mike that question. Let me drop it a second. And the answers are A, they must have a letter from the FCC showing that they once held an amateur or commercial license. B, there are no requirements other than being able to show a copy of the expired license. C, the applicant must be able to produce a copy of a page from a call book published in the USA showing his or her name and address. Or the correct answer, D, the applicant must pass the current element 2 exam. All right, let me explain that one. Okay, so as of 2015, so this is a new rule, folks, amateurs who were previously licensed but let their licenses expire may receive credit for exam elements that they passed. While you still must pass the current element 2 exam, if you can provide documentation that you had an amateur, general, advanced, or extra class license that was not revoked, you will be credited with having passed those written exam elements. So I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, anybody, I believe that the element 2 is the test that we take to get our technician's license. So if you've had one of the higher class licenses and you let it go bye-bye by not renewing fast enough, all you need to do is pass the current technician class and your full privileges for whatever license you held would be restored. And that's a pretty sweet deal, don't you think, Mike? Back to you.
Yes, I don't like rules and regulations, but this one may be a good one. It may be a good one. Although there's 462 Q&As in the general exam, it used to be almost half of them were from the tech exam anyway. So when you're taking the general test, rest a little easy. Yes, study for it. Be prepared. But half of the questions, roughly, are from the tech, so it's nothing dramatic. It's not a big jump. It's like a half step. But yes, it was very good. Very good new rule, and it's okay. We got to live with it. It's KD0CDQ. I'm passing it over to K6SUN. Kathy, what you got for the final question? Over.
Well, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, but Mike, it's not the final question. It's only number 10. But I probably a lot of you don't know, but one of our NCSs allowed his license to lapse. So I was not aware of that, and he has not yet gotten relicensed. So maybe it's because he can't get in to take that test. So I wasn't aware of that. So thank you for that question, Paul. Mine is a Golf 1 Echo 04, and it reads, which of the following conditions require a licensed amateur radio operator to take specific steps to avoid harmful interference to other users or facilities? A, when operating within 1 mile of an FCC monitoring station. B, when using a band where the amateur service is secondary. C, when a station is transmitting spread spectrum emissions. Or D, all of these choices are correct. And if many of you have heard me in the past, I always like that answer. All of these choices are correct. And in this case, that is the correct answer. Remember, if you know at least two of those answers are correct, and there's another one that says all of these choices are correct, that's going to be your correct answer. Let me pause for just a moment. Amateurs are required to take special steps to mitigate interference in the following circumstances: when operating within 1 mile of an FCC monitoring station, when transmitting a spread spectrum emissions, when using a band where the amateur service is secondary. FCC monitoring stations require an environment free of strong or spurious signals that can interfere with their receivers. the location of the monitoring stations be determined from the regional FCC office. Spread spectrum transmissions, because of their nature, have the potential to interfere with fixed frequency stations, so SS users should be sure their transmissions will not cause interference. ANS, and remember that amateur radio is not the primary service in 60 and 30 meters. On those bands, we are the secondary service and must not interfere with primary users. So let me throw it out there to anyone, this is our class members or anyone listening, who has a question, and that includes you, Mike, or anyone else.
RFJ.
RFJ, go right ahead, please. Go right ahead, Roger.
Thank you, Mike, and thanks, Kathy. I guess one of the things that I like to share with, most hams that I am in contact with is, you know, it's very important that we understand what we're dealing with when we're operating on any specific band. As Kathy had stated, the 60 meter band and the 30 meter bands are secondary. There's also a lot of VHF and UHF channels or frequencies that we are operating as a secondary service. So it would behoove us all to double check and make sure we are appropriately taking specific steps to avoid any harmful interference at all times, no matter where we are. Okay, I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
That's quite okay, Roger. You can get on the soapbox anytime you want to. We all enjoy it. KD0CDQ, I guess I'm throwing it back to Paul. Go ahead, Paul.
Okay, Michael, I'm glad Kathy reminded us that hers wasn't the last question. I was packing up about ready to get out of here. This is question number 11, which, by the way, is the next to the last question, and it is a question number Golf 1 Echo 6, and it reads, which of the following applies in the event of interference between a coordinated repeater and an uncoordinated repeater? A, the licensee of the uncoordinated repeater has the primary responsibility to resolve the interference, and I'll tell you right off the bat, that is the correct answer. B, the licensee of the coordinated repeater has the primary responsibility to resolve the interference, the opposite and incorrect answer. Both repeater licensees share equal responsibility to resolve the interference, and D, the frequency coordinator bears primary responsibility to resolve the interference. And the answer was A, the licensee of the uncoordinated repeater has primary responsibility to resolve the interference. So let me drop it a second here. Okay. To minimize repeater-to-repeater interference, regional repeater coordinators or frequency coordinators has been established. Those volunteer coordinators are another good example of the self-organizing nature of amateur radio. They derive their authority voluntarily from the amateurs in the area that they serve. The ARRL is not a frequency coordinator, nor does the ARRL certify coordinators. Anyone planning on installing a repeater should check with the local FC frequency coordinator prior to such installations. A listing of frequency coordinators can be found on the National FC Council website, nfcc.us. Now, not all repeater owners choose to participate, hence the voluntary nature. Not all owners participate in the coordination process. If interference occurs between coordinated and non-coordinated repeater systems, the non-coordinated repeater has the primary responsibility of resolving the interference. The FCC has made it quite clear that they expect users to use and respect the local FC process as a matter of good amateur practice. And if I knew I had so much trouble with the word coordinator, I'd pick this question. Back to you, Mike.
Paul, I think we all have some trick questions. My wife is the one who picks them up when I say certain words and they don't come out right. And I just look at her and I did it again. We all got some of those words. Does anyone have any comments along with this? This uncoordinated repeater, that's kind of interesting. I'm a little fuzzy on that, but that's just me at the moment. Anybody have any questions about this question? Go ahead now, please.
Six, Victor. May I have a short with Paul, Mike?
Go right ahead, Gordon. The floor is yours. Over. You got the deck.
Got the deck. Do you hear that, Chief? Thanks. I'll make this short. Paul, good evening. We're getting towards the closing here. With the situation with Bill, which is really sad news for us all, MEW I'm talking about, would you like me to pull together the questions necessary for Tuesday night, since you've already done this one, Paul, over?
Yeah, Gordon, I would appreciate that if you had the time to do it. I hadn't been because Bill was going to be doing that, and in fact, I think Saturday morning he said he was doing it that day, so... and yes, if you can, I would appreciate it. If you can't, I'll do it.
No, I can, and I'll get that done for you tomorrow. I'll pick a question, one or two, that have the word coordinator in it. Is that all right?
I don't know about you, Paul, but he's got me laughing on this end. Go right ahead, Paul, with your comments. If you have one, if not, we'll swing it on back to Kathy. Over. This sounds like one of my local radio stations. They go dead air sometimes on weekends. I don't know if the engineers are playing checkers or what's going on. Okay, we'll send it over to Kathy, K6SUN. Now you've got the last question. Please go ahead now, Kathy. Over.
All right. Thank you so much, Mike. And we see your comment in the text box, Paul, so I'm not sure if you had any further comments, but maybe after I finish this last question. But I would be happy to ride along with you in case that help is needed on Tuesday. But we're hopeful that everything will work well with Bill and he'll be back. But we don't want to push him either. So I'll be happy to run it along with you. The final question, the 12th question tonight, is Golf 1 Echo 12. And it reads, under what circumstances are messages that are sent via digital modes exempt from Part 97 third-party rules that apply to other modes of communication? Our choices are A, under no circumstances, B, when messages are encrypted, C, when messages are not encrypted, and D, when under automatic control. And actually, the correct answer is under no circumstances. Let me pause for just a moment. Digital contexts are no different than voice or CW in the rules governing message content. All of the FCC rules about third-party messages apply to digital transmissions. This includes email, digital images, or web pages transmitted via amateur radio. This is why Internet access through gateways and other services must be limited. Commercial messages, such as advertisements, may not be transmitted via amateur radio, and neither may information pertaining to your business or finances. So with that, I have one final comment about uncoordinated and coordinated. That is quite some tongue-tying answers, and you did a good job with it, Paul. With that, are there any questions or any comments? This is our final question for this evening. I'll throw it out there for anyone who would like to make any comments. Roger or Charlotte, one of the two of you, you have no audio. You're keyed up, but you have no audio.
Kathy, this is Charlotte Day. I'm sorry, we had a little trouble at this end. Anyway, before everything shuts down, I just want to thank everybody involved in getting this together, and I will miss next Sunday night's class, but I expect to be here the rest of the time, and I do appreciate all that you guys are doing. Thank you.
Well, Charlotte, you should be able to catch up with the podcast, you know, and I don't think you'll have any problem. You have a good instructor there in your household, and it'll be fun too. And I think you're going to be going and doing some knitting, so that's a lot of fun. But we'll miss you, but you can catch up with it on the website. So with that, I'll throw it out there once again to see if there's any comments before I turn it over to Mike. And remember, Mike, give us a little bit of time to shut down the recordings when you're finished. So anyone, anywhere, have any comments?
Yeah, okay, Secretary. I just don't know if you want me to check in now or you want to wait till Mike comes back, KSFTV. But sounds like good. And I was going to, when I thought about that last question, I thought it would be A, KSFTV.
Yes, Mark, when Kathy was reading the question, I was thinking, oh, I don't know. I don't know what that answer is. And the answer is there's no circumstances. So it's interesting. Some of these questions ring true in our head. And just have confidence in yourself. You know there's no exception. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't know what the exception is. And there isn't any. Yeah, that's pretty interesting, Mark. I'm glad you picked up on that. Very good. Does anyone else have any questions about any of the questions that were covered this evening, or basically any of the questions in this set that we did this evening? Is there any question that kind of throws anybody that they want a little more review? Please go now. Over. Well, I don't hear anybody there, so I guess we're okay with this group of questions. And remember, everyone, we'll be back here Tuesday, the same time, and we'll see what the combination of instructors will be. It'll kind of be a bit of a surprise. And I want to tell you also my feeling when I read the email from Kathy about Bill, I felt it, you know, deep in my stomach. I felt, you know, a locking up there. How do I say this? Bill has a quality in his voice and a way of a chuckle that he has in his voice that he's a kind of a guy I would sure like to meet. But I'm sure not going to go as far as where he lives to go meet him, though. But he's the kind of a guy, it sounds like it would be fun to have a conversation with. It's something quality in that voice. Okay. Anybody have any comments? Of course, we're going to always take any comments and anything now with the next group of questions. If anybody has a question that they notice is kind of quirky or they don't really understand why it's right, note it. Note it down so that on Tuesday night, bring it up. Bring the question up that was in the group that you're kind of fuzzy with, and maybe we can hash it out and make it simpler or help ingrain in your mind what the right answer is. And I'm so glad that Paul pointed out that they do change the location of the questions, A, B, C, D. Some people don't believe that. Some people I know say, no, they never change the order of the questions. I just leave it alone. You don't need to get in discussions on things like that because they do change it around a little bit. Now, some of these questions have been changed from the previous testing group, but what I have noticed is that all of the questions that are in this group of 462, I haven't noticed, I haven't read them all, of course, I have not noticed a question that has not appeared before. They just changed the location of it, I noticed. They'll change it into a different group. I don't know what goes on there, but they move them around. But I haven't seen anything new except for the rule changes. That's about the only thing they come about. Anybody else have a comment? This is the South Coast Amateur Radio Service doing the general exam. This is our first meeting of 8, reviewing some of the questions that will be given to you on the general exam. And anyone want to come aboard with any comments, please go now.
Yeah, one India with a comment.
Yes, go ahead, Paul, please.
Yeah, Mike, thanks. It's pertaining to your comments about Bill. And I like to echo those feelings. And I've had the pleasure of actually meeting Bill 2 years ago, spring of 2013. He was here in Connecticut for a 1010 convention, and we met and had dinner. And he's exactly as you would expect him to be. The only thing that surprised me was how big he was. He's a big man. He's like, I got to be 6'3", I'd imagine. Very tall, bigger than I thought that he was, but he's got these piercing blue eyes and everything else that you know about him from coming through those through the radio. It's exactly who he is, so there's no pretense of any sort whatsoever. And we had a grand old time. He was a delight to be with, and I can't wait to see him again, and I can't wait to have him back here. So all our prayers will be with you, Bill. WQ1I back to net.
Very nice comments, Paul. Thank you for the fill-in. I'm thinking of those piercing blue eyes and a big dude. Okay. Well, I wish him the best up there, and I'm so glad that he has hospital care. They took care of him right away. Very, very good. Well, that's the first class, the first session of the general classes. We'll be back here Tuesday night. Now, what we're going to do is please give them about a minute or more of silence. Gordon or Kathy will come aboard and tell us when we can transmit. They need to turn off the recordings, so turning off the recordings requires a period of silence. So let's all run silent right now. KD0CDQ. Go ahead, Kathy and Gordon.
This has been the South Cars Outreach Program. Join us again next time for another an hour series of training sessions for amateur radio operators. Goodbye for now.